You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region.
We're going to go into an interview. On January 29th, 2017, a young white man entered a mosque in Quebec City and killed six men, injuring 19 others, five of them severely. This was the first time Muslims had been killed inside a mosque in North America. And with news cycles focused mainly on the suspected mental health of the shooter, before the story quickly disappeared from public discourse, the rise of Islamophobic actions continues to escalate today. Ahead of the one-year anniversary of this horrific shooting, multidisciplinary artist and podcast host Aliana Pabani joined forces with activist and writer Saeed Hassan to create the Remember Jan 29 project, an interactive social media project which is asking people in Canada to share where they were when they first heard about the 2017 Quebec mosque shooting. To take part in the project, go to rememberjan29.com on Twitter, hashtag RememberJan29, and at RememberJan29 account. Also check out the Facebook page, hashtag RememberJan29 Quebec Mosque Massacre. Today we are speaking with Alia Pabani, a co-creator of the RememberJan29.com project. Hi Alia, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
As we approach the one-year mark since the Quebec City Mosque shooting, could you please tell us about the Remember Jan 29 project and share why you and co-creator Saeed Hassan took on this important work to highlight this horrific event?
Well, it kind of started when Hassan and I were having dinner one night, and it was probably in about October, and Hassan had just come back from being almost half a year abroad since the shooting, or maybe around half a year abroad since the shooting, and we were talking about how since the, like, weeks after it happened, or the days to, like, maybe a couple weeks after it happened and all the media coverage died down, we hadn't heard about the project since. We hadn't heard about, films that were underway. We hadn't heard about books that were being written about the subject, or, you know, art that was based on it at all, documentaries on the subject. And we were concerned that there was kind of an act of public forgetting underway. I remember when I heard about the news, I had been traveling while Trump was announcing the Muslim travel ban, and 2 days later this happened, and I told my friends, like, I felt sick, and there was this feeling of, like, oh, hasn't this happened before, though? This is the only shooting in North America that's taken place. Like, there's been no shooting, even in America, of Muslims being shot in their space of prayer in this way. And we thought that if we wanted people to engage with this horrific event that happened and not let it go, we needed to, like, create a space for that to happen.
What is this space that you've created?
Well, what we did was we created rememberjan29.com, and it's in French, souvenez-vous29jan.com also. And the idea of it is that it's like an aggregator website. So what it does is it pulls anything from Twitter and Instagram with the hashtag RememberJan29 or the French hashtag. And it also shows posts that you make directly to the site or to the Facebook group. And what it does for us and what we hope that it does is that even though there are now rallies that are going on across the country, which are very important, and vigils to remember the anniversary, we thought it was also really important to create an online space where people could kind of really reflect as individuals on where they were when they heard about the shooting. And I think the reason why it was important to create this online space specifically is that we think it's really important in engaging with the fact of forgetting about these victims of this shooting to create a space for people to grieve and to express sadness, and also to be able to express other types of feelings around this issue. So anger, for instance, that Islamophobia isn't just about remembering this particular event, but the history of Islamophobia in this country generally, not just in terms of hijab-cutting incidences or the shooting, but in terms of Canadian immigration policy and the wars that they have endorsed abroad that resulted in the killing of Muslims and creating the impression that Muslim lives are somehow worth less than other lives. And so the reason why we thought it was important to create this space is that when people have, like, individual time to reflect online and could even do it anonymously, then they could maybe engage with other feelings around this event that might not happen at a public vigil. So things like confusion or anger or maybe even indifference. Some people have said that they don't remember the shooting or they don't think about the shooting in the same way that they think about, say, École Polytechnique or other significant mass shootings in Canada's history.
What has been the response so far?
Yeah, we've had a lot of response. I haven't checked recently, but probably around like 100 posts have been aggregated online. A bunch of people have shared it, and we're trying to now kind of ramp things up by contacting specific people directly to try and get their thoughts, especially people with large Twitter followings, leading up to the actual anniversary, because we're hoping that it'll really take off and kind of really catch on by then. But there's also been a lot of media interest in covering the project, which is great because we want everyone to kind of share their thoughts. And honestly, like, there are so many people who are like reading all these posts and messaging me privately about it. And I think part of the thing that I want to encourage people to do is actually go through the process of trying to remember where you were and engaging with your individual feelings about it, because that aspect of it, I think, is really important as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned this this act of public forgetting, and one of the parts of this project that sparked it was that there is this public forgetting going on. I agree that the mosque shooting disappeared from the public discourse quite quickly, considering the gravity of the event, considering the number and scale of anti-Muslim, Islamophobic, and anti-immigrant demonstrations that took place before the shooting and have taken place since. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this has become, like, as you put, an act of public forgetting? People haven't really kept the discussion going on this.
Both Hassan and I have kind of had conversations about this several times and like really tried to reflect on why that is. And I guess we have our own theories about it, but I think part of the reason to do this project is to try and understand that a little bit better. Mm. And we can only do that if we create space for people to be able to be as honest as possible about how they relate to the incident and why they might have forgotten or why it might be hard to remember exactly where one is the same way one would remember where they were when 9/11 happened, for instance. Obviously, the scale of such an event is different, but we want to be able to put this in the same light. I mean, in my mind, part of the reason, I think, is that, you know, I've grown up in Canada as a Muslim, and I remember, actually, this incident is kind of sticking in my mind of being maybe 6 or 7 years old and being on my way to mosque with my family and listening to the CBC and just even on like a progressive national radio network to hear the way that the Islamic world is portrayed, that the only time you would hear the word Islam was like Islamist terrorists or terms like that. I think subtly over time puts an idea in one's head that perhaps there are people who are somehow more valuable or more Canadian or whose lives are maybe worth more. And I think that we need to be able to engage with the subtle ways in which Islamophobia kind of pervades media and public culture in this country if we're going to be able to understand why we forget this shooting in particular.
I think it is, as you mentioned, it is kind of prevalent in the media, the Islamophobia and some of the language that's portrayed and when it's portrayed. I think part of it is people don't want to believe this was a Canadian thing that had happened here.
Mm-hmm.
It helps or puts down some of the myths that Canada has been built upon. Now, with nearly a year since the shooting, do you have any thoughts on actions people can take to support the survivors going forward?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I know that people actually need money, and that like there was a Globe article about Ayman Darbali that came out about the injuries that he suffered protecting people from the shooter by actually putting his body in harm's way. And like, there's another example, like it took a year almost to get actually a media profile of this person who perhaps in another context would have been considered a hero. But he's having trouble with like medical bills and all of that. So I know that there are sites available for people to donate money. I don't know like what else the community would want as support at this time. But I mean, I think that maybe there are ways like within people's individual communities where they can support Muslims. There are a lot of like organizations that serve Muslim refugees and immigrants directly. There are often calls out from activist groups like No One Is Illegal to support detainees, some of whom are Muslims. And I think that just participating in those actions can be really significant.
Mm-hmm. And on Monday, on the 29th, on the one-year mark of this tragedy, of this massacre, there will be there's vigils. I guess all weekend there's vigils going on across Canada. Is there one where you're based?
Well, we're actually holding an event called Lighting Fires, commemorating the Quebec Mosque massacre on Sunday night. And I think that there is also a vigil planned in Toronto, but it escapes me when it is. But I think they're kind of floating all over Facebook. And so, yeah, where we are at, we're going to be holding a small, like, reflective ceremony with, you know, musicians and poets and other artists, because we're trying to create a space for people to feel kind of safe to engage with the tragedy and talk about it with other Muslims and allies alike. So if people are in Toronto, then please come out to that. We're also donating a portion of the it's a fundraiser, so we're donating the funds to Ayman's fund that he has set up.
Right. Yeah, and we'll give links to that fund, as well as the rememberjan29.com site and the Twitter and Facebook as well.
We've been speaking with Alia Pabani, rememberjan29.com, a co-creator of the Remember Jan 29 project. Check out that project online. Also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram under the same name. And of course, it is a commemoration. It is a remembering of what happened, of the massacre, of the shooting and the murders that took place January 29th, 2017, in the Grand Mosque in Quebec City, when a young white male entered the mosque and shot dozens of people as they prayed. 6 people killed, 19 others injured, 5 of those severely. That has been AWOL Radio. Thank you to Alia Pabani for joining us on the show. And again, go to rememberjan29.com for more on Remember Jan 29 Project. AWOL Radio signing off here on RadioWaterloo.ca, CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo Region.